Jeff Jones from St. Louis Game Time on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Oh, nowhere to go.
It just turned off.
Oh, it was rocking the drum solo.
All on its own.
Welcome back, St. Louis. You are listening to Game Time AM on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 and InsideSTL.com. I am Jeff Jones. Matt Davis is here across the board. Brad is out today. I had the drum solo in the chamber.
Yeah, it's weird. What I think is happening is somebody else somewhere is using the same account.
Oh, really?
And so they switch it to their
and so
computer,
it stops the music
and
here?
So it stops it on my end.
Okay.
So I've been fighting with somebody over. No, so it's my turn.
Is it? So at roughly this point in the morning, do you think it's fair to say? Because we know who's on now at this point in the morning. Hey, Dan Buffa, get off our Spotify account. Is that where we're at right now?
It could be, I guess.
Could be logged in the computer over there at 920?
It could be.
I don't think
it's anyone in this building.
It's been a year, right, since the move from 920
it's
over
almost,
here? We're pretty close to a year. Yeah,
another summer and we're there.
Another summer. Another summer.
So whoever is using it, I'm intentionally messing with them by switching it back to my device while they're using it.
Good.
Oops.
We're firing up our own radio war. Come at me, Chris Denman. I'm not worried about you. You are listening to Game Time AM. Good morning. Lots of stuff about the Cardinals. Probably more Cardinals talk in the first hour than we've had, I don't know, maybe collectively
ever.
So far. Yeah, but they,
it was the most negative it's ever gone, I think, though.
Well, I don't know how.
Not that it was
positive.
Necessarily negative.
I should read these texts from Big Al because he's texted them
a
lot.
Seems like his party over the weekend never ended.
Well, he's been texting them a lot, and I feel bad for him. Like, he's committed to hammering the text over and over again, so I want to set him free. Big Al texting in to say that, breaking news, boys, I just found Pergy and Perron in a KOA campground in a puppy tent, and I said, boys, it's okay. The playoffs are over. It's safe to come out. They yelled thank you, and they hugged him. There you go, Big Al. Thank you. Thank
it's
you.
It's a big story.
It is a big story. Here's
what's happening right now?
Here's what I find curious about that, Matt.
Okay.
So if you have, like, an older phone that still has the character limit for text messages, right? So Big Al has this text broken up into four different texts.
Yeah. It makes it hard to follow.
All of them are far below the character limit, and there aren't logical breaks in these, right?
Like I said, his party over the weekend has not stopped yet.
Yeah, apparently Big Al's still out for sure celebrating freedom as well.
Go get it, Big Al.
Yeah, go get it. Look, Big Al builds the planes. He can do whatever he wants. As we're waking up this morning, the Twitter tweets are firing up. President's awake, so he was on the Twitter tweets this morning, so good morning, Mr. President. Laying into the Germans pretty hard this morning.
What did the Germans do?
Well, apparently they're bad, evil people because, I don't know, they make cars. That was the whole thing over the weekend.
They make pretty good cars from what I hear.
That's what I'm told. I would not know. I'm not hashtag blessed enough to be in the vicinity of a German car.
No.
But there is a nice German car we do see here on most mornings. A well-beloved member of the TMA cast piles out of the German automobile every morning.
Oh, yeah. And it is sleek.
It is a swell looking device, but
swell.
I will say, by the way, just, you know, while we're doing this, there's no such thing as NATO dues. Let's be clear about this.
NATO news?
NATO dues. Like, there's
NATO
dues? There's this whole thing now, this whole talking point where Europe isn't paying enough into NATO. Like, NATO doesn't cut you. They don't write a bill. Like, there's not an invoice for NATO. You pay a percentage of your GDP's defense spending as part of your NATO dues.
Okay.
But European countries are cutting defense spending, so they're paying less because they're paying less for their own militaries.
So NATO's
so less
mad?
Goes into well, the president
they want
is
more
mad.
Money. The president.
The president is mad. NATO is not mad.
Who controls NATO?
What does NATO stand for? North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It is an alliance of the nations that was formed after World War II. That primarily in the Cold War combated basically the growing communist bloc.
I don't think we need it.
Well,
we stop giving them money.
I disagree, but that's gonna be a whole hour. I will just say this: NATO doesn't think that anybody owes it more money. This is one of those random.
NATO doesn't think anyone owes it more.
No, because the way that NATO was constructed, like, the U.S. is a massive contributor to the NATO ground force, and is a massive contributor to the overall coffers, because the U.S. has so very much right. unnecessary defense spending very that large. They pay a huge percentage, or they pay a huge amount, rather, as the percentage of GDP that they pay to NATO. And so, yes, the U.S. does pay more, but because the U.S. has chosen to build a massive military and not because European countries are not, like, paying bills that are due.
I'm following.
By the way, Big Al texting in to say that he drives a BMW 325i and Merkel is a fat biatch. Thanks, Big Al.
Thank you, Big Al.
I did enjoy Angela Merkel. Well, I don't know, making a very disappointing statement about the status of the U.S. as a world leader and saying that Germany no longer can rely on its allies, and then she pounded a beer.
Nice.
That's pretty good. It does pay to be German, but we're not gonna do it. We're not gonna go. I made you deal with that with the Cardinals wormhole. I'm not gonna drag you down.
Is it bad for me that I don't really pay attention to any of this, worldwide discussion? Oh, what's going on with Germany? Oh, what's going on with Russia? Oh, hey, the president, this and all that. You know, I really try to stay away from pretty much all of that, not just in speaking about it, but also in just getting involved with it.
So part of, I don't know. Do I think it is bad? No, I don't think you're a bad person for not wanting to be involved. I don't think less of you for not wanting to be involved in it. I would not be able to do that because, I mean, that's just the way that I am wired, I guess. I don't know. And this will sound fully ridiculous, but it is absolutely true. I fell in love with The West Wing at a young age, and that to me was enough to create an interest in public service and create an interest in politics and government that has fomented itself over the years. I went to Washington, D.C. for the first time when I was in eighth grade and fell in love with it. If you ever go to Washington and you have the opportunity to be there, go to the Kennedy Center at night. On a clear night, there's an observation deck that looks out over the city, and it looks back across basically all of the monuments and the Capitol building, and the White House is going to be over to your left. And it is the most amazing view of any city that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Sounds lovely.
When I was living in D.C., like that, it never wore off for me. Like, the novelty never wore off. The tourism sort of feeling never wore off. Everything about being in D.C. was, to me, I don't know. For me, it is exciting and, like, legitimately inspiring to know that actual places where I was actually walking were foundational things in the country existed. Like, that, to me, was thrilling. Like, seeing the actual Constitution, like, actually in a glass case in front of me, that, like, I don't know.
Did
I
you like feel like you were stuff. A national treasure?
I really did.
That's what I think I would feel like if I was ever there. I'd be like, oh, man, I got to figure out how to get this in my car.
And it goes all the way down. It sinks into the basement. There are angry security guards.
Now, do you need your passport to go to Washington, D.C.?
No. No, no, no.
Isn't it technically not part of the United States?
No, that's not. No, it is definitely part of the United States. My driver's license is issued by the District of Columbia, in fact. Yeah, no, you do not. You know.
I'm totally just asking questions because I don't know.
No, you can totally go to D.C.
I heard that one time.
Yeah, no, that is for sure not true. In fact, there are affordable direct flights.
What is the District of Columbia?
The District of Columbia is a self-governing district that borders Maryland and Virginia on all sides, basically.
Self-governing, please explain.
So it is not a state. It is a territory, I guess, or it's a federal district. I think the idea was that originally when they formed the District of Columbia, there was much more focus on the power of individual states, and Virginia in particular was a very strong and powerful state at that point. And so when the bargain was struck, as lovingly curated in the Hamilton musical, when the bargain was struck to put the national capital in the South, closer to Virginia, there was some concern that if it was a part of Virginia, then there would be undue influence, I guess, from one of the more powerful states at the time. So it became its own little self-governing territory, and Virginia and Maryland each donated a big chunk of land, basically, to create like a 26-square-mile square chunk in the middle of those two states. That is, it's, you know, so
it sounds like you're saying it's its own separate entity, though.
It is sort of like the Vatican, but it is not a separate country, right? So, well, it
right.
is, so DC
but
has
still maybe
DC
not
has a
technically
city.
Part of the United States.
No,
of self-government,
definitely part of the United States, like, for sure.
Just different rules.
Yes. Yeah, so the budget for DC is set by Congress and governed by Congress. the mayor of the mayor of DC is elected. There's a city council. there is a congressional representative for D.C., but that person cannot vote. So Eleanor Holmes, Eleanor Holmes Norton. It's a good question. D.C. folks would tell you that it's, well, from a foundational standpoint, the idea was that D.C. was never supposed to be a place where people lived. It was supposed to be
just a governing body.
Yes, people would go there to do the government, and then they would go home to
paperwork,
their constituents. Right, and has
phone calls.
It has evolved, obviously, over the centuries at this point to be something very different than I think than it was originally intended to be.
They have a baseball team now.
They have all of the teams. They have all four pro sports and MLS and WNBA. They have an NLL team. I think.
Why don't we have a WNBA team?
Well, because we don't have an NBA team.
No.
The WNBA is owned by the NBA and subsidized.
That's
by
a requisite, prerequisite.
Yeah, I mean, like the NBA owns the league, and I believe all of the WNBA teams are also owned by the NBA as well. Text from the 314 says DC is taxed without proper representation. Make it the 51st state. Indeed, license plates in the District of Columbia have the little theme on the license plate.
Mm-hmm.
On the license plates in DC, it says taxation without representation. There are constantly statehood movements. And in fact, when I voted in this last election here in this past November,
mm-hmm.
there was a statehood referendum on the ballot, and I voted yes for statehood because I thought it would be fun.
Okay.
I think
it all sounds a little confusing to me.
I like the constitutional process. The bottom line, here's what you need to know about D.C. You can travel there anytime you want. Doesn't need a passport, whatever. You can go. You can drive there. It has interstates. It has airports. Everything about it is wonderful. You can walk the National Mall. In the course of an hour, you can see the Washington Monument and the Vietnam Memorial and the Korean War Memorial and the Lincoln Memorial and the FDR and the MLK. All walkable.
It's a lot of stuff.
All the Smithsonian museums are all there on Constitution or Independence. You can walk them down and you can see all of them. You can see the National Archives. Very walkable city. Historic city. Gorgeous city. I don't know. I'm a big fan
it's
of DC
a city.
For sure. It is a city. By the way, text from 618 says the congressional DC rep can vote. Their senators cannot. That is not correct. They do not have senators, and the congressperson for DC does not cast votes.
Now I'm even more confused.
The congressperson can cast. So I'm about to make it worse. the congressional delegate for DC can cast procedural votes. Like, okay. You know, like. Do we want to go
not
to recess,
procedures.
Basically, right? But cannot cast substantive votes. Like they cannot vote on should this be a tax, but they can vote on should we go to lunch, basically.
Yes to lunch would be my vote.
Always, and believe me, always yes to lunch is always the vote for Congress people.
I could go for some lunch right now, actually.
I could, too. You know, it's 6:15. I've gone through phases here in getting up for Game Time AM for a while there. I was doing very well. About meal prep, I was making myself some breakfast burritos, basically like on a Sunday.
Yum.
On a Sunday, I would get up and I would scramble 8 eggs, throw a little bit of just some Rotel in there and some cheese and wrap them up, and I would individually wrap them in some plastic wrap. And so I would get up, grab my drink. It was coffee at that point, and then I would microwave the burrito, and on the way out the door, I'd have burrito and coffee and good to go. At some point, I lost my Contigo, my coffee mug. I don't know if I left it here. Or uh-huh. I don't know where the hell it went, but it's gone. So I lost it and have yet to replace it. And so I have gone off of coffee because I haven't had a good mug, which is why I've now switched to the Monsters. But with no coffee, I've also not been like around my kitchen much. So I then haven't had the burritos, and it's a whole thing.
That is a whole thing.
we're evolving, right?
You
everyone.
Know what? I haven't had a Red Bull in over a week. That is extremely miraculous for me.
You know, that's so here's the thing, because you do have a Mountain Dew this morning.
I do.
I'm not totally convinced that Mountain Dew is. I think it's probably worse for you than Red Bull. Right?
Oh my gosh, man!
I don't know.
I'm not trying to get into that.
Okay,
I'm just
fair
saying.
Enough.
We're talking about morning diets and,
yeah.
and drinking habits and whatnot. I was drinking, you know, probably 2 16-ounce cans of Red Bull every morning, and I've cut it down to zero.
That's impressive.
I haven't suffered any side effects, any detoxifying or anything like that.
I
actually feel pretty good. I've been drinking a lot of water, only a little bottle of Mountain Dew, which usually I just carry around a 2-liter with me.
Right. I was thinking to myself that I'd never had effects either from detoxing off of caffeine,
mm-hmm.
But I realize now that I probably have never really
not
tried to
detox,
cut
yeah.
caffeine, right? So I probably have just had the caffeine.
That's
in
what
the
I do.
Time.
I'll stop drinking soda and be like, okay, I'm going to start drinking tea instead. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm not bothered by missing out on caffeine at all. And then I'm like,
right.
wait a second, there's caffeine in tea.
There is, but a lot of. So I have a cup of tea most nights.
A cup of tea.
I do. I make myself
like a hot tea with a tea bag and everything.
Yes, indeed. I make myself a cup of tea in the evenings to wind down for
bed.
You have
some wafers
because I'm a very old person. I do not have any wafers.
I feel like that would really complete the image in my head.
Yeah, a crumpet. No. But
crumpet. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but I do. I do drink the passion tea. So like if you ever go to Starbucks, you need like the bright purple tea. Mm. I drink that and it is decaffeinated. I don't know. I enjoy a warm beverage. I find it soothing. Helps me go to bed at night. Text from the 314 says great segue from politics, guys, straight to energy drinks. Well, here's the thing. We can go right back to politics because they just announced. No, but I'm just saying they just announced they're building Wawa's in DC, which I do.
Oh, wow.
I do love
major
me,
breaking.
I do love me a Wawa. If you've not traveled much to the East Coast, you probably have not been around many Wawas. But it's basically like a nicer Quick Trip. They have the full deli. They have all the sandwiches. They have all of the drinks you could ever want. They're very popular in the Philadelphia area, and they are apparently now building them in downtown DC. Yeah. So
What do you know about St. Louis, Jeff?
I don't know. Plenty. Lots. Okay. I don't know. I
hear a lot about DC here this morning.
Well, here's the thing that I do feel guilty about is like everyone else that is from St. Louis, I understand the pull to come back here. I did the requisite St. Louisan thing where you move to Chicago in your 20s because that's what, you know, people do around here.
Mm-hmm.
It's either for the most part you either have kids in your early 20s or you move to Chicago or like the two things that people do here in St. Louis for the most part. So I know you went the children route. Mm. I went the Chicago route. That is basically, I think, the two primary options. So I did that and then moved from Chicago to DC and then now being back in St. Louis, I admit that I do miss the cities a little bit. I live in downtown St. Louis. I don't live necessarily in the most bustling part of downtown. I live basically at the far west end of Washington Avenue. I do, you know, I wonder if maybe the Central West End would be a little more interesting or downtown Clayton. I don't know. I do miss having a sort of centralized, busy, bustling downtown area. Like, I, you know, in DC, I was 5 minutes basically from the National Mall. In Chicago, I was a 4-block walk off the mile. So I was very close to the heart of stuff, I think, and got very spoiled by it.
Yeah.
So St. Louis now to me is very quiet. So, yeah, I don't know.
All right. That's good to know. You know, I've never been a city person.
No?
No, I'm not from the city. Never spent a lot of time in the city. Outside of sporting events, I was never in the city, actually.
You know, as a kid, I grew up in Belleville, right? So, I mean, I was not ever like a big time city person. I mean, I went to stuff in the city with my folks, to sporting events or whatever for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But I did, like, I don't know, I did enjoy city stuff. And I talked about that trip to DC when I was in eighth grade. That to me was formative. Like, I enjoyed that a lot. And then when I was a junior in high school, I went on, because I was very cool, a Model United Nations trip to Chicago.
I always thought those seemed pretty cool.
I love Model UN. Model UN in high school is a cool opportunity to travel and meet people from around the country. In this case, it was, you know, You release a bunch of high school kids in the middle of downtown Chicago and say, okay, you can walk as much as 3 blocks in any direction. If you're in high school and you're in the middle of the loop, because we stayed at the Palmer House Hilton in downtown, if you're in that part of Chicago and you have 3 blocks square to walk, there's a lot to do in 3 blocks square from that spot in downtown Chicago. And so and granted, we did fudge it a little because we walked from the Palmer House kind of up to the Hancock Building, which is a pretty good haul, mm-hmm. pretty much all the way down Michigan there. But, you know, that to me was the first time I was ever, like, in a city as a person, like, by myself and individually, and I loved it, right? Mm-hmm. I was super into it.
Took it and ran with
it. Yeah, so I am definitely, for sure, more urban, I guess. Urban, if not urbane. I don't know. We'll put it that way.
Urbane?
Yeah. So.
Keith Urbane?
Keith Urbane. Anthem singer for the Nashville Predators. Tim McGraw last night finally came out on the Twitter tweets, by the way, fired out his support for the Predators. So I guess maybe his tour is done.
Boo you, and Tim McGraw.
He's not afraid of offending anybody. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, things fired up yesterday. Gary Bettman had his big press conference yesterday, had his big State of the League address. A couple of interesting tidbits out of there. The expansion draft now, originally the Vegas Golden Knights had a 48-hour window to get the lists of players and then make their selections. That is now a 72-hour window. So they gave them basically an extra day, which makes sense.
A lot of thinking going on there.
It is a lot of thinking going on. You can bet for sure that most teams are not going to be submitting their list to Vegas early, right? And so it is that was
why not? Don't they already know by now who they're what the deal is?
They do, but there is, I think, a competitive advantage in holding them for as long as possible. In part because that stops maybe Vegas from feeling like they can gamble on a particular player, but also in part because that way you are not putting yourself in a disadvantaged position when it comes time to maybe make trades.
Okay.
With Vegas, right?
Because so if you hold out a little bit and see what kind of doors that opens up a little bit later on.
Right. If Vegas wants you to sign a certain player or wants to draft a certain player, I should say, maybe they're willing to make trades that they might otherwise not be willing to make if they just wait it out, right? Mm-hmm. So there are definitely some advantages to making them wait as long as possible, basically, to get access to your protected list.
I am so ready for the Stanley Cup Finals to be over. I don't have any interest, I'll be honest with you. Don't like Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Don't like Nashville. So I'm ready for it to be over so we can get this offseason going, see what happens with this expansion draft, free agency, see if there's any trades in the works. I'm ready to get things going.
Well, I mean, you know, that is going to be – it is going to be an exciting roster period. We're basically 3 weeks out now from when things are really going to get fired up. The 21st is when things get announced for the expansion draft. So that's going to be a big period of roster movement. I believe the last date on which the Cup Finals can end is the 11th. Is that right?
Okay, I was going to say the 11th or the 13th.
I believe that's right. So, I guess we can figure it out because Game 2 is going to be on the 31st. Game 3 will be on the 2nd.
There is a two-day gap between
there are,
actually,
there
two
are,
times.
There are a couple of two-day gaps in there. Yeah, so I was actually – so as I go through that, I'm just doing that wrong. But I do believe, it's the 11th or the 13th. You're right. It's the last day.
What is up with the two-day gaps? I know we've talked about this previously, but what is up with that? Because that's brand new this season, isn't it?
Well, I don't think so. And I think in the case of the Cup Finals, in the earlier rounds, it's probably largely building availability.
Right.
With the Cup Finals, I think it's a network thing. I think because the games are so games two and three, I believe, are on NBCSN, but every other game is on NBC. Like even like primetime
regular
big
NBC.
Yes,
that's cool.
So I believe because of that, in order to work things into the network schedule.
Now is that new?
No, the games
they
have always
play
been
that many games on NBC.
Yeah, no, they've always been on NBC. And in fact, I think in years past, all of the games have been on NBC. I think maybe a couple of games being on NBCSN is a sort of a downgrade.
I would know that if the Blues ever made it.
Right, and that was the other amusing thing last night. I saw Stephen Wino. I should dig this up. Stephen Wino, who writes for the Associated Press, is based in Washington. Mm-hmm. Tweeted that only three players drafted by the Washington Capitals have played in the Stanley Cup Final since 2000.
That's no good.
That is crazy. Like that is a super duper small amount.
What three guys?
I believe it was Johnny Oduya was originally Capitals pick. Philip Forsberg became the third, and I forget who the third was that he had on the list there. But
right,
Eric Fair. Yeah, because Eric Fair played for the Penguins last year. So
we're talking about players that played in the final after leaving Washington? Or?
Yes, just as Capitals draft picks. Yeah, well, the tweet from Wino was that Philip Forsberg becomes just the third Caps draft pick in the 21st century to play in the Stanley Cup Final, joining Johnny Oduya and Eric Fair. So I, of course, decided to go back and track through Blues players who have played in the Stanley Cup Final.
Is it a lot?
It is quite a few. I did not go back to 2000. I only went back to 2010.
Okay.
Going back to 2010, I found six and then had two tweeted at me that I had missed. So eight players drafted by the Blues since 2010 have played in the Stanley Cup Final.
Wow.
Ian Cole, Roman Polak, Ben Bishop.
Wait, who did Polak?
The San Jose Sharks last year.
Oh, yeah.
Roman Polak was a San Jose Shark.
Goodness.
Yes, indeed. Ben Bishop, Carl Soderberg. Drafted by the Blues, had an eye injury, never came over from Sweden, was traded
Poor
to the
Carl.
Bruins for Hannu Toivonen, and then came over and is an effective player in the league now. Bryce Salvador, four-year New Jersey Devils in 2012. And believe it or not, a player drafted by the Blues in 1992 played in the 2010 Stanley Cup Final for the Philadelphia Flyers. Can you guess that player?
No.
Ian LaPerriere.
Wait, when did he play?
In the 2010 Stanley Cup Finals. That was
Ian LaPerriere.
It was Ian LaPerriere's last year in the league. Wow. Yes, indeed. Ian LaPerriere drafted
one of
the Blues.
He retired like 10 years before.
Well,
that. Wow.
He retired immediately after that because he'd had concussion issues. And then right. after that Cup
also
Final.
Also, he was old.
Also he was very old. Yes. Ian LaPerriere drafted by the Blues in 1992, played in the 2010 Stanley Cup Final. The two that I missed are both Blackhawks. Michael Hanzus was a Blues draft pick. And Hanzus was playing playing for the Blackhawks. And David Runblad, Blues draft pick, traded for Vladimir Tarasenko,
yeah.
played for the Blackhawks as well.
Chicago, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so what does all this mean, if anything?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Nothing really. Just
fun facts.
Yes, yeah, fun facts for no and tell. Text from 314, why are you still talking hockey? Blues haven't played in 3 weeks. I don't know, because there's still hockey going on?
Yeah.
And then it says... I'm turning the sailed no again. I don't know what that means. There are some.
It's unintelligible.
Yes, they're definitely unintelligible.
You could try to think about it and figure it out, but it's like, eh.
Also, text from the 618. Model UN is the rare opportunity for the unathletic high school students to have sex.
Yeah.
I feel like I might know this person. This person might have lived my life. I don't know. Like, I'm going through. I want to go through.
People told you that before, I guess, and so you're not. Oh, that's who it is.
Well, it's not that they've told me that. It's, well.
Is that just the thing?
I mean, my family listens to the show, but that's okay. A thing. That's totally a thing. in college, honestly, it's worse because half of the people have access like to legal alcohol, and so it is obscene and absurd. Like this person is right. You lock a bunch of generally socially awkward and intellectually inclined mm-hmm. high school students
yeah.
into a hotel with nowhere to go. That happens. They find each other. That is part of the experience for sure.
Good.
there was an incident, in fact, at a college Model UN conference, and this is a sad story.
Oh.
Okay, so here's the thing. I laugh at things that are sad because I don't have a better way to process it.
Good
so
defense.
I definitely that is for sure my defense mechanism is I laugh through things. When I was a freshman in college, we went to the Model UN conference in Chicago at a different hotel in Chicago. This one was the Sheraton that has a smoking patio that goes out over the Chicago River. And there was a gentleman, actually, he went to UMKC, who disappeared one night. One of the last nights of the conference, just vanished from the thin air, has never been found. The leading theory, because he had been drinking with a bunch of people, the leading theory is that he had gone out to this balcony to refund into the river, to upchuck.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I gotcha.
and went over the rail into the river and swept out to the lake.
Wow,
that is the consequence.
They put taller rails there.
The rails are pretty tall. But if you're that inebriated and you're just leaning into it, like,
okay, yeah,
you know, I people fall. It happens for sure. But that was totally a thing. And the next year when we arrived at the conference, you would think that we would discover that things have gotten serious now, and there's you know, there's security, and we're gonna
no.
There was like a moment of silence, and then there was some okay, you know,
go
let's
ahead,
make good choices, and then that was pretty much it.
Wow,
yeah, shocking to me that the organization manages to still exist.
It's good to see they take things seriously.
They did. They took it clearly.
They're like, that's not what happened. He didn't fall over the rail.
I mean, basically, yeah. Basically, their argument was
he ran away.
You can't prove it. Believe me, there were some wild theories. In fact, I think if you get deep into the like conspiracy theory portions of Reddit, there are for sure, I think, people who list that as one of, like, you know, one of the missing people.
Really?
Right? Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was 2005. Yeah, fall of 05. God, that's been 12 years ago now.
Wow.
Oh, I'm old.
Goodness.
Yeah, rough. So, other things that happened at the Gary Bettman press conference. We're all over the place this morning. My transitions are not great. I feel like I have interesting tales to tell. But going back and forth between them is perhaps not really high on my skill set.
right?
So we're just going to bang from one to the other and just the hell with it. We'll figure it out. Aside from the Las Vegas window, there was also the cool announcement that the new jerseys, the Adidas jerseys, will be revealed at the gathering there in Las Vegas. I saw someone tweet yesterday that now moves the NHL awards down to the third most interesting thing that will happen at the meeting there, because you'll have the announcement of the expansion draft, you'll have the jersey reveal, and then you will have the NHL awards happening out there in Vegas.
Why is the jersey reveal a bigger deal than the awards?
People love jerseys, Matt. People love jerseys. They love to talk about jerseys. They love to collect them. They love to talk about differences in
them. I love the jerseys that never actually get made official, I think.
I mean, I'm
a huge fan of third jerseys.
I am too.
People consider the ugly jerseys are usually my favorite.
If I was gonna have like a if I had like a Mount, I don't know about a Mount Rushmore, but if I had like a Holy Grail collection, those 90s third jerseys, of which the trumpet set was going to be a part, I would love to have all of those, right? Like the Canucks jersey that goes from like red to blue and back to red, the Burger King jersey, the Wild Wing jersey.
They're awesome, I think.
The Dallas Stars Mutarist jersey. I was a big fan of that
one. Is that who they... I saw that jersey. The one, I wasn't sure which team it belonged to.
It was the Dallas Stars. It had a red stripe for, I don't know, basically.
Was this supposed to be like Angus beef?
It was the head of a cow looking straight on, and it looked like a woman's womb.
I didn't notice that part.
So you think about the horns, right?
I totally get it. As soon as you said it, I was like, right.
Yeah, and so it was called the Mutarus because the cow says moo, and there's a uterus, and that was it. And that lasted, I think, I don't know, maybe one season. I like those, the red.
They learn quick there in Dallas.
Yeah, the red Sabres jersey with the cross swords. I
love
that
one. That is by far my favorite Buffalo Sabres jersey ever.
And then
I think it looks so much better than what they have now and what it was previously.
Well, and Buffalo was on the list of teams that are having substantial do-overs. Yeah.
There's
next
only,
seasons.
What, seven or eight teams getting full new
there
uniforms?
Were actually, so the list I saw, there were 12. I think 12 teams making substantial changes for next season. As I'm Googling right now to get that list, there were a bunch of teams. So the text from the 314 with a wrestling.
What
gif.
Is happening there?
I don't know. There's a
it's
snake
like his
charmer.
Hand is a cobra.
Yeah,
and the guy's blowing the pretend flute.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the hell's
he's
going
playing
on
the pretend flute.
13, by the way, 13 is the number. So according to sportslogos.net,
Blues are not one of those
teams.
They
are not on the list.
That's
so
a little disappointing, I think.
It is a little bit. It does for sure seem to suggest that the dream of the Winter Classic jerseys becoming the permanent jersey for next season is probably dead.
Yeah. And it's not going to be an alternate jersey next season either, is it?
Well, probably not. So I'm gonna go through this real quick. The Boston Bruins, the Buffalo Sabres, Calgary Flames, Colorado, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Florida, Minnesota, Nashville, New Jersey, Ottawa. Boston, no one's quite sure what the changes there are going to be. Maybe a little tweak to the font. No one really knows. Buffalo has the ugly piping still. That probably is going to go away. So you're going to get closer to the early 90s, the original Alex Mogilny Sabres look is what you're going to see there.
Yay, how exciting.
I like it. Calgary looks like they're probably going back to throwbacks, so like to the McInnes era.
Like the Flaming Horse?
No. I love the Flaming Horse.
I want the Flaming Horse back.
I want the Flaming Horse back as well, but you're looking probably like the Al McInnes era, orange, red, and yellow. That sort of look is going to be happening.
Okay, so less black than what they have now?
Yes.
All right.
Colorado might be getting a full refresh. They have that.
Like
they
have been moved somewhere else?
Well... One could hope. I don't know. We know that in a Kroenke organization, it takes many years for jerseys to be changed.
Yeah.
So maybe they've been working on this one for a while. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I know Edmonton is going to use their orange jersey as now their permanent home jersey, which is why the Blues are not going to make that change because Edmonton's on this list and the Blues are not. So that suggests when you make a third jersey a permanent jersey, then that that counts as a major change.
Why do they change jerseys so frequently?
Because they can sell more.
It's all.
Got to
get the new
marketing.
Jersey.
Yes, indeed. And as a testament to that, the Florida Panthers are on this list. The Florida Panthers.
They just changed their
jersey. Just this season got new jerseys. And I
got to say that's the right move, though, because what they went to this past season was horrible.
And see, I like them a lot. I really like the center chest stripe.
It's like
and
very
the,
traditional
and the shield.
Almost.
Yeah, but I like it. Like, I like that as a contrast to everything else about the Florida Panthers, which is super non-traditional.
See, I prefer the bright orange with the Panther, like, lunging out, claws out. Rah! I like those.
And see,
it was
bright
and colorful, and there was an angry Panther.
I do. I wonder how much meme ability creates impetus for teams to change their jerseys. And the reason I say that is,
it's weird.
Picture the new Panthers jersey and the new logo.
Okay.
Now
boring.
Picture Nala from The Lion King in the middle of it instead of that Panther. And that is what you've seen a lot of. But she looks like it. Like, that Panther kind of looks like Nala a little bit. And
so you're saying it's not even a Panther. The Panther's a lion.
Right, yeah. It's
a lioness.
It's a lady lion.
What do they got going on there?
I don't know, but it's but you know what? Even that, granted, Miami's not Orlando, but that's nice. That's nice Disney synergy, right? You have the whole Florida thing going on.
Orlando Magic.
The Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic.
That's the only thing that pops in my head when I hear of Orlando. I'm like,
really?
Orlando Magic. Shaquille O'Neal started there.
Then you're lucky because I would think most people would think Disney World and you have small kids.
Well, see, you know, Florida is probably one of the last places on my list of, hey, I want to go visit there someday.
I don't like Florida.
I'm not a fan of anywhere with heat.
Nope.
And Florida is pretty much a hot spot, I believe, from what I hear. So, I mean, Missouri even is too much heat for me. I'm looking for a place that's going to be around 60 degrees year round.
Yeah, I know. Well, you should check out Seattle because Seattle is
too much rain. I'll get depressed and sad.
Yeah, that's fair. Portland, I don't know. Portland is less rainy. Portland's not bad.
Yeah, I've heard Portland isn't very inclusive to outsiders.
That's fair.
I've heard from people that tried to relocate there.
I think that you would. Yeah, you sort of have to assimilate to the Portlandia way of life in a hurry.
I love the show. Will that get me in?
Well, and so here's the thing. That's one of those like art imitates life kind of things. Like that's not the show is not as far flung as you might think that it would be. Right? Like
that show is awesome.
I
think it's real funny because the creators of the show, I mean, they both are basically the people that they're making fun of in the show.
Yes, for sure. The show. I don't know. I don't love it, but I think partly, honestly, is because I know a decent amount of people who are from Portland. Like I know Portlanders, and it's like, this is not.
So you're just watching like normal people in their everyday lives,
and doing stuff that I don't like, Like, and then
what don't you?
Well,
like?
So I talked about
putting birds on things.
For example, I talked about this last week, but there was a discussion I saw in my Facebook feed last week among people who live in Portland that I know.
Okay.
About whether or not ethnic food restaurants who were owned by people outside of that ethnic group were culturally appropriating and should be boycotted.
Oh, I heard about that.
Like, stop it.
I don't even know what that means.
Just stop it. Like, I know what those words mean together.
Right.
But, like, just...
It seems kind of weird.
Eat an egg roll and be quiet. Right? Like, pick
so
your
they're upset.
Battles.
They're upset that their food is coming from what they deem to be inauthentic.
It's not that they're upset that the food is inauthentic. It's that they are upset that you are profiting off someone else's culture that does not belong to you.
Okay,
right? You know, basically,
is that fair?
I don't think so. Because the entirety of American culture is appropriated by definition. Like this is an amalgamation of people. It is a melting pot. And so if you come here, right, like in you know, I don't know. And for example, you see plenty of there is not among Americans, I think, a very good discernment between Asian folks of varying descent.
Right.
And so, you know, Chinese restaurants run by Philippine families, for example, that's a relatively common phenomenon, and yet no one seems to have a problem with that.
Right.
You know, Thai restaurant, you know, for the best or the most renowned, I guess, Thai restaurant in St. Louis is probably, or Vietnamese restaurant, I should say. Sorry, I'm doing it myself. The most renowned Vietnamese restaurant in St. Louis probably is My Lee. People know, that's there in Clayton. Actually, I went there the past week. It's good. It's great food.
Yeah.
But they
I've never had Vietnamese. I've never had Thai.
You would like both, for sure.
I love Chinese food.
Yes.
I love legit Korean food.
Yes. So Vietnamese, especially. Vietnamese for me is better in the wintertime because, you know, a lot of it is big warm noodle dishes. I like pho a lot, which is like a big bowl of soup. But it is a big bowl of warm soup with noodles and good vegetables. And in a lot of cases, like, big giant hunks of rare beef.
Right.
Very good. But my point is that that restaurant has Vietnamese and Chinese food both, right?
Right.
And those are distinct cultures, so we don't care. I don't know. That's a whole thing. Basically,
I get what you're saying.
Right. Like we pick and choose, I think, the battles for where it is and isn't okay to culturally appropriate food.
We are such a bunch of whiny babies.
We really like
we're so progressive. We're just a bunch of whiners.
And you know what's funny? Hall of Famer Dave is texting in right now and was just texting in to tell you that you would like San Jose in the Bay Area.
Too close to the ocean. It scares me.
The ocean is fine. Don't be afraid of the ocean. The problem with the Bay Area is that for your family, you'd be paying $6,000 a month in rent.
I don't think I can afford that, Jeff.
I don't know who can afford that, right?
It's really that expensive in San Jose?
It is crazy. The housing.
What about like the outskirts? The housing, I could totally move to the suburbs of San Jose.
San Jose is kind of the outskirts.
Or the suburbs of the suburbs.
Right. Well, I mean, that's, I don't know. Yeah, because San Francisco obviously is the hub out there, but the whole Bay Area is like, I mean, there's a legitimate housing crisis going on in the Bay Area right now just because so many people, like corporate landlords, have bought up so much valuable property out there because there are a lot of lots of temporary housing, lots of tech jobs that don't necessarily last for a long time. And Airbnb was creating a huge problem up there because people were buying up multi-unit buildings and they're renting them out on Airbnb for huge amounts. And people were just living there. It was a whole thing.
Wow.
TJ, I'm sorry, texting in to say millennials suck. What's the
classical definition of millennial? Someone born after 2000 or?
No, I think it's older than that, because I would classify myself as a millennial when I was born in 87.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would say millennials probably date back to 85, maybe, right?
So I'm a millennial?
I would say that you probably are. Hall of Famer Dave texting in to say downtown San Francisco rent goes for $2,100 per 700 square feet. I'm going to take the over, Hall of Famer Dave. I'm going to take the big over. Well, I mean, I can tell you this. My apartment in D.C., in downtown D.C., was 825 square feet, and it was $2,680 a month. It was a lot. It's a lot. And D.C. is not as expensive as San Francisco. I think for 700 square feet in San Francisco, you're probably looking at more like $4,000.
That's insane.
It is. It is.
Can't even process that. It's so foreign to me. Pretty
insane. Yeah. That is the one benefit to living in St. Louis, is that things feel like they're free. Like after having lived in both Chicago and D.C. I can see that. Getting used to paying $6 for a Bud Light, like things do feel like they're free here. But in terms of, do millennials suck?
What about them sucks? I'm sure that not the whole package sucks.
The problem is there is a lack of ability to pick the right battle. There are some serious. So a text from the 636 says millennials are 80 to 99. I would generally agree that 80 to me seems high, but I mean, I'm born in 87 and I think I'm comfortably millennial, so I'm probably, I mean, that's probably fair. So 80 to 99 is what this person is considering to be millennials.
Okay, fair.
The issue, I think, is that with the development of so much social media and the ease of expressing every single thought, no one has had to learn the skill of either self-censorship or of picking battles, right?
Good
of figuring out
tact.
Right. Like, yes, exactly. Good old-fashioned tact is a wonderful way to put it. And there are some serious issues that exist in the world about equity and about race disparity and about gender disparity. Those are real problems. When people pick weird, tiny, nitpicky battles,
right,
then
it really
everything
isn't going
else
to influence the bigger picture in the end anyway.
Right. And so a good, you know, this is the tactic that you see. And again, not to pick, I guess, on the White House, but this is, I think even their supporters would agree with this is a tactic that you see, is that when broad-based strokes of things are correct and they find small inaccuracies that don't affect the larger picture.
Yeah.
Then the entire thing becomes debunked somehow, right? Which is not the case. So you see stories about all of these communications between foreign governments and all of this. If one detail of this is wrong, then the entire message gets swept away as fake news,
right?
Which is not fair and not an accurate assessment. Like, journalists will occasionally make mistakes on small pieces of information inside of stories that don't change the overarching message of the story. But when the corrections page in the New York Times is viewed as a victory for people who are just sort of lying about things, then we have like a serious breakdown in discourse in this country, right? And in the function of the free press. And like, it is important for people to be able to sift through the serious problems. Because, you know, we're talking about Portland. It's a serious problem that a guy feels like he is emboldened enough to scream at a Muslim woman on a train and then cut the throats of passengers who are coming to intervene in her defense. Did you see that story over the weekend?
No.
That there was there were two folks that were riding the MAX train, the light rail there in Portland. It was a younger Muslim woman and then a younger woman who was African American, who said, I don't know if she was with the woman or if they were sitting together, I don't know, but there was basically a crazy guy who starts screaming, "Get out of my country, get out of my country." Other passengers on the train stand up and go, "Hey, knock it off. Like, stop yelling at these women."
Right.
And the guy turns around and has a knife.
Yep.
Killed two people. The third one is still in the hospital. I mean, that's, you know, one of those guys is a 50-year-old guy who was going home to his three kids. The other one was like 23 and, you know, just graduated from college. Like, that stuff is serious. And that stuff happens because people feel now like it's okay. Like, there's
who feels like it's okay?
There are people who, for a long time, I don't know, call it good manners, call it societal restriction. For whatever reason, there have been controls, I think, on outwardly, like, aggressively racist behavior that I think are gone now. Those people would tell you that they want to get their country back. Other people would tell you that the leadership has created opportunities for people to feel like they can speak out. I don't know. I just the bottom line is that, you know, and in fact there are also people who would tell you that the last president created a big racial divide in this country. If you ask me, and I'm on the radio and you're listening to me, so I guess you're asking me. I don't know.
590 The Fan.
You're listening to Game Time AM on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 1057-82 and InsideSTL.com. I forgot to reset because I've been talking about this for way too long. Whoops. Sorry about that. Radio professionals over here. If you ask me, I think that there were enough people who were so pissed off to see a black man be the president that they're fired out of the woodwork now. And this to me feels like the last gasp.
Where are they? I don't know any of them.
Well, but I think you probably do. I really
secretly?
Think not, and not even secretly, but like, and you know, I guess since he's my own father, only my sister's gonna yell at me about it, so that's fine. I'll just go ahead and say it. And you know, and you shouldn't speak ill of the dead. And I'm not speaking ill of my father. But growing up, I would not have ever told you that my dad was racist, right? I didn't ever have that perception of my dad. He owned rental property. He ran into African American families when I was young. I never saw him behave in a way as a kid that made me
right.
think dad was racist. After the election of Obama, something changed, right? Like, I mean, that there was a change. He started hoarding guns, and he was critical of the president in a way that I'd never heard him be critical before. And there was a racial tint to a lot of it. And I don't think my dad was a bad person for that reason, but I think that that brought out a lot of latent prejudice in people that they were not comfortable with. You know, like, Obama's coming to get your guns. It's crazy. There was so much, there were more loosened restrictions on handgun ownership in the Obama administration than there were in the entirety of the Bush administration.
Wait, does that come down to race?
People think
he's coming to get guns because of race?
I really do think so. I really honestly do think that there was
enough underlying... Maybe it's just generalized fear in that specific scenario.
Maybe it is, but where does that generalized fear come from?
All over the place. You get in the side alleys of the internet and all the crazy talk on there, well, and all the influencing of people to be fearful and all that.
And that actually, yes, that is true, and that is part of it as well. I think, again, if you don't ever turn off Fox and Breitbart, and you don't ever turn off Rush, then yeah. That's the message of the year. Now,
not to mention,
now as Catfish texts in, and I do want to acknowledge this. He asks, "Would I agree that it cuts both ways? I'm sick of both sides making up their own truth." Yes, I agree that it cuts both ways. I have a bias here because I tend to lean one direction. And the thing about me is that as a younger person, I was fairly to very conservative. I voted for McCain, and then in the 2012 election, yeah, I voted for McCain, and then the 2012 election, I voted for Gary Johnson. I did not vote for Obama either time I had the option. But honestly, and here's, I'll wrap this up with this, because I'm all over the place here, and we're going out of time anyway. The event that changed it for me, that changed my my perspective on politics almost entirely, was Sandy Hook. That to me was the turning point, right? Yeah. When kindergartners get shot at school, like that was like that to me was sort of the end of the conversation. And for me personally, that was the point where I looked at the people who were talking about that event, and I looked at the way that each of them were talking about it, and to me, it was really easy to line up on the side of folks who were compassionate about that issue and willing to take actions to stop it from happening.
Was there anybody that wasn't compassionate about that issue?
Yes. Yes. For example, InfoWars. InfoWars, which now has a White House press
that
credential.
That shouldn't count.
So, but okay, here's the thing. That shouldn't count. But the President of the United States went on Alex Jones' show a year ago.
Oh, did he really?
Sat at his desk.
Donald Trump?
Yes. Was interviewed by a guy who says that Sandy Hook was fake. And has harassed
parents
of murdered
children.
I've heard
that there's a lot of that stuff out there.
Like
the crisis actors and all this stuff.
And InfoWars now has a White House press credential. Those are people that you can't give a microphone to because they are dangerous and they are bad for the country. Like,
I agree. That's all Alex Jones has done with InfoWars this whole damn time is just create fear, create discord, create divide. That's all he's done. And now you can see he's turning into, you know, I don't want to say mainstream, but he's getting pretty damn close to it.
What's more, they're in the briefing room.
And it's horrible.
They're in the briefing room. That's the mainstream.
There's nothing news about that. There's nothing journalistic about that. It's, hey, we're going to make up a bunch of crazy stuff. We're going to get these people on this side fired up. We're going to get these people on this side fired up. And we're going to meet in the middle. We're not going to meet in the middle, basically.
It's the Inquirer, but meaner, right? But much meaner.
It seems like there is a clear agenda for InfoWars to go out and divide people.
And, you know,
create fear, create panic, divide people.
And if we're gonna have team mentalities and we're going to have tribal mentality, I don't want Alex Jones on my team.
No thanks.
And that's where I'm at. So this has been the second hour of Game Time AM.
Feel like we should call today's episode Game Time.
Yeah, really. I don't know. This has been the second hour of Jeff Talks About Stuff here on 590.
Jeff knows DC.
That's true. Yes, of my tour through Washington. 3 stars of the show. Very briefly, Matt Davis. We're gonna go ahead and fire through those. We got time, you think?
Do we have any?
I'm gonna say
Catfish.
Yeah, the Catfish for sure. The 3rd star
the
of the show
one.
Today. The real one.
The exploded version.
Okay, Catfish all over the place. 2nd star of the show today is gonna be Model United Nations because it sent us off on this big ass long tangent about everything else.
All right, first star.
First star of the show today, I'm actually going to give it to Plowsy because Plowsy had some fire hot takes on the Cardinals there in the first break that I'm guessing you're about to hear here on TMA coming up shortly.
Congratulations, Plowsy.
Attaboy.
I wish I knew what he said. Were you guys having secret conversations?
No, we were having a loud conversation in the hallway. You walked by to go to the
Oh, yeah, I was running. I was running to the restroom.
Yeah, you were booking it.
I missed out.
This has been Game Time AM on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HG2 and InsideSTL.com podcast. The first hour is up, Matt, yeah?
No,
up shortly?
I was busy talking.
That's okay. It happens. Podcast is going to be up here in a little bit. It should be up quick. TMA is here to follow. Looks like Ben Fred is in for Tim today. Cat is here. Doug is here. CZ's here. Iggy's here. Plowsy's here. I'm about
roll
to not
call.
Be here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be with you back tomorrow morning. Probably not much more developing in the hockey world unless something big happens today. So tune back in tomorrow morning and we'll dig deeper into, I don't know, places I lived in American politics. So
if
thank you once
you
again.
The coffee will be here.
Oh, don't say that. That's the competitor. That's the competitor, Matt Davis.
It's mine now.
This has been Game Time. Thanks much for coming in.